Our first speaker in this session is Harold Gango, and the title is, let me read it, Period Polynomials and Relations Among Totally Odd MZMs.
Thank you very much. Great pleasure. And thank you for the opportunity to get sunburned on the glacier. First nice experience. I'm the first one to talk about multiple zeta, so I thought I'd start rather basic, if you don't mind. But yeah. So a little bit of a recap, not much, but just to put things more into a kind of framework. So everybody knows, of course, Riemann zeta values, the graph of Riemann. So these are zetas depth 1s, one NZBs, and we know very little. So for zeta n, we know at least for the even ones that are known, zeta 2n is rationally proportional to pi to 2n. So that is at least something that Euler already found 250 years ago or so, and he even gave a very explicit formula in terms of Plinian numbers, of course. Now, next thing we know is that zeta 3 is irrational, and that was 1978, and in the Mathematical Intelligencer, an article on that read, a proof that Euler missed. So it was very intriguing, rather complicated, and amazingly ingenious proof. And so people thought, okay, now we've got a good grip on zeta 5 and so on. So we don't expect it to be in Q, but no one knows how to prove it. So this contrasts probably with the talk tomorrow. In the function field case by Ernst Haeckel, they know much more about this. What we would like to have, for instance, so one, that we believe that it's true that all zeta odds, by which I mean zeta 3, zeta 5, and so on, are algebraically independent. Over Q. Linearly independent or even algebraically independent. All we know is essentially this one, and another small breakthrough by Rivoise said that there are infinitely many linearly independent, among these. That was Rivoise in 2000. And that's essentially the thing that we can claim to know about the zeta values. And what we would like to have is some much bigger, much better, much richer picture. Mm. And so I hope that we will see what's true actually in the function field case. For instance, what I just realized is zeta 3 divided by pi cubed. So we certainly do not expect this to be rational, but maybe in the function field case you can tell us whether this is...
It's independent pi also.
It's independent. So
yeah, that's not...
That question is not rational.
Yeah.
So embarrassing, they know so much more, but okay. Let's forget about... this, because we're now much more interested in relations among those, and there we know, I think, a great deal more. And so Euler introduced these double zeta values, abbreviated dz, n for multiple, d for double, r for not single but Riemann, okay. Euler introduced those. And I understood, well, not the name, I think, so that came later. in an effort to understand the rationality properties, which he could prove, and then he found that zeta 3, so that's the sum 1 over n cubed, is the same as if you sum 1 over n squared, 1 over n. Okay, now comes the point where I need to give you my convention. So I've chosen for today the conventions going up in the less than direction. So I said less than n, less than n. So how do I phrase that? So this is now zeta 1, 2 for me, which is which goes against the usual, I think, French way of writing. So it's with the less than rather than greater than. But otherwise I would have come into deep trouble because I chose things from different topics. Okay, and in general, I recall that zeta AB now is defined as the sum 1 over n to the a, 1 over n to the b, 0 less than n less than n. And then you can, of course, iterate what the same thing is for higher depth. I'll maybe write it down in a minute. But let's concentrate on these double zetas for a moment. And so this is for a at least, for a at least 1, and b at least 2. To ensure convergence. Okay, so these are the values, and we know very little. So explicit evaluations are sparse. Only as far as I'm aware of, in terms of powers of pi, like zeta of 2n, say 2n, 2n, we have the same coefficient here, and even the same index, then zeta this one is the power of pi, I think maybe power of pi to the 4n, maybe times 2 divided by 4n plus 2 factor, or something like that. I forgot. Okay, and there is a relation. That already. So we have lots of relations. Let me just give one simple one. It's already due to Euler. Oh, something wrong?
Okay, can you just explain a little bit of why it is why those things are equal?
Ah, so that's actually a good point, but it's not easy. There's a paper with 32 different proofs. So I urge you to read at least the 32nd of that paper and try to get this. Maybe a simple one is in terms of integrals. You write each of those as integrals, and then there's a simple way of using what's called the duality relation to the simple change of variable, which then allows you to see that rather easily. But Euler did it, I think, very explicitly, and he found a way how to prove it. It's not obvious. So look for Bradley and is Bradley and
all my
right.
Yeah. So it's equal for zeta 3, 1. Yeah, but n is, for example, in the right, if m is bigger than n, on the right.
Yeah.
If m is bigger than n, for example, the term m equals 1 is basically. Okay, there is this one little term. Okay, thank you.
You sum over that cone.
There is only one term that misses and that makes it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, right. equals n equals one is not there. So it's just a code over which is something. You're missing out the boundary terms.
Yes.
Yeah. I understand.
Anyway, but you have 3-1 also is like 5-1.
It's I think fourth times is it 4 or something?
Yeah, so just that will also be explicitly very important.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's there are some the odd ones like that. But this comes I think from is it maybe also by duality?
It's duality, so and I think so it's the only one.
That you can still deduce, yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we are talking about this, are there any similar relations?
Any similar
generalization of this?
Yeah, so there is something called duality relation. That's very general. So you take a string of numbers. I'm not going to talk about it. Maybe tomorrow's talk. The talk later on will give more information on whole sets of relations of that type. So it fits into several different types of collections of equations. That's right.
No.
But and one can actually, these relations that I haven't written down, right, some formula. This is actually, I think, also an avatar of this, by Euler. He said that if you take the sum over all zeta AB, which are convergent, where A plus B add up to the same weight, what's called weight K, and this is zeta of k. So here we have a right, 1 b equal greater to 2, and they sum up to k, then this is equal to k. So that's another way to deduce it if once you have this sum formula. And there's a refined version, in fact, which we found with Kaneko and Zaki, and then later on Hoffman pointed out this already is. Yes, implicit in Euler's work. So, which says that if you take the same sum, but now you say that A plus B is K, but A and B even, and you compare it to the sum that A and B are on, then it's always in relationship 1, 2, 3. So, and therefore, by the previous one, you can immediately see that it must be this one. So that's a fun, refined sum formula. And there are much more general formulas by Ono, for instance. He has a multi-index formula, which is of a similar type. You sum over zeta values, where the indices have all a certain common feature, like the sum of those weights add up to the same one, and it will also add up to, say, a simple multiple and often just 1 times zeta of k. And now the general MZBs, as for just for the notation, is zeta k1 to kr, which we just say this is some 0 less than, called this n1 less than n2 and so on. N1 to the minus k1 to nr to the minus k. And as before, kr has to be at least 2 to guarantee convergence, and all the others have to be these are the sums that we're interested in. And we've seen, so then we call the weight of such a integral just the sum of the indices, and the depth, dp, of this is just how many different indices there are. So here it's r. Maybe d would have been better. And so just a little bit of history from last century already. The people have, so after Euler, not that many people were actually looking at those. It's not explicitly. And then there was a revival of these in the late 80s, and from different, very different, at least three very different sources. So one was by Brotest, and I think he was maybe the first one to encounter what, so the first non-zeta value in quantum field theory. Whoops. In so finite integrals. Field theory, which led to something that later on I think was called zeta 3 phi, so we now know what to think of. I think he saw that, and he also realized that this is not expressible, it seems, in terms of the classical zeta. So that's an unusual one. And that was mid-80s, I think. Something like that. Then end 80s. So, late 80s, there was Zevlin, and there was Hoffman, and there was also Goncharov. So, all three very important. So, Zevlin made lots of numerical experiments and gave a dimension formula, which we will see in more detail in a minute. Which, via numerical experiments. And he saw lots more. I mean, he also saw, I think, both shuffled relations that there are, which I'm not going to talk about, but I hope the next talk today will give a more detailed account of that. Then there is also late 80s, at the same time, independently, was Hoffman. And he studied them from a very algebraic point of view, not the numerical one. And he introduced algebra structures, derivations, and he called them actually not model zetas, but model harmonic sums. Very important player, which maybe who also was certainly influenced by and maybe influenced Zevlin himself early 90s or late 80s. He puts those in a into a motivic framework. And in particular, the most very powerful property and new. We found that they satisfy a co-product. So that was very important to notice. Yeah, so maybe that's roughly the background that I want to
do. So you say Hoffman has had the Hoffman algebra structure, right?
Yeah, he had a Hoff algebra, but of a different type. So he had the yeah, it's not the motivic. He didn't have anything motivic there. He had the these derivations. He had the quasi shuffle. So also he had kind of the double shuffle. I'm not sure about the regularization bit, so that I never checked whether he already had regularization. So he certainly did. So he introduced sort of the famous zeta one, which he could then multiply with others and take differences between one way of multiplying another way. But I'm not sure about...
It was late 80s.
Late 80s, I think.
Before Greenfeld and Dring.
Ah, yeah, right. Greenfeld was 89?
Was 89.
88, 89. And Dring also 89. So all at the same time. I mean, they were published then. But I guess Grünfeld knew his material even Yeah, I don't think Grünfeld ever exhibited a multiple zeta value as such, or the coefficients of his associator. I think that was Kansevich who realized that if we write them out, they're exactly the ones that Zagier and Gontrov are studying. So the
possibly Len Murakami and not Kansevich, I'm not sure.
It's the 90s,
yeah. Yeah, but I think Kansevich realized that these coefficients of the associator can actually be written in terms of these sums. I think that. Was that already Len Murakami, do you think?
I think so, I'm not sure.
But I think they followed Kansevich. I thought.
Okay, I'm not sure.
Because, so I know the story as follows. Zagier met, so he often travels, as some of you know, and so does Kansevich. And they met by chance at an airport. So one standing in line here, the other one standing in line there, and they were talking to each other, kind of. And then Kansevich told Zagier, yeah, actually, I've seen that your sums actually can be written as an integral like this. And then you think for a minute and say, oh, you've proved the duality theorem. So just by realizing that you have this other way of writing it, he kind of indirectly proved a conjecture that was not proved at the time, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's how I know it. Well, maybe it's another legend, but I think it's funny enough. Okay, so I haven't said anything about the topics in the title, but now let's have first, hopefully surprising quiz. Well, we'll get a connection with modular forms. So I'll recap in a nutshell in a second, but just a bit more of history. So, collection of modular forms and certain relations, yeah, so that's in, and certain relations among modular zeta values. The first one I'm pretty sure, so the original one, was already in Zagier's Paris ECM paper. ECM. And so there are. Okay, so such relations, such I mean motivated or coming from modular forms. But you look at products of single zetas, RZVs. He proved it using this Rankine-Selberg method where you pair the modular form with a product of two Eisenstein series and value it to a product of L values of the form itself, one of which is always the same, the other one varies, and that lets you that gives you enough room to look. So I didn't phrase it correct, but roughly something like that. And actually Gonser also at the time checked that the action of say, what I call Itosumura operator, whatever that is, don't worry. on the co-product of these double zeta values. And that also allowed him to show that there must be number of, or the right amount of relations, at least among those relations among zetas. And like a decade later or so, with Kaneko and Zagier, we make that very explicit. And while Gonser, for instance, worked modulo zeta 2, so he never got identities on the nose, but he didn't care or didn't need it. We really wanted to have those. And then we set the attach to each module form, some kind of a module form for the group SL2Z, an explicit relation among these. So several instances, and there are more. So for instance, recently, or 1 or 2 years ago, Rod has found that there's another modular connection, but this time for what he calls Deline zeta values. And these are multiple polylogs not evaluated at 1, but at 6th roots of unity. And then we found as well such connection. So there's too much going on to ignore it.
So where does Ihara fit here? I thought Ihara was the first one to show some red trail, something goes.
Yes, Ihara saw it in a different context, and he saw that in weight 12 something in his Lie algebra. He gets when weight modulo the prime 691, a certain combination, the one that Dehaene was writing down the first day, was zero, but only modulo lower or higher depth, I think it was in this context. But it's surprising that the difference of those two generators that he had all had the coefficient 691 in front, so that already was very striking. Yeah, so he saw it, and he also had the connection to SL2 and the cusp forms that I meant to mention. Yeah, so I glossed over this here, right?
I just remembered that he had a higher sum.
Fits very much into that picture.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, we should not. Yeah. Okay. And so, what's the relation with the with Zagier's dimension formula and for dimension formula U, please? So originally, Zagier found, again based on, as I mentioned it, if we look at a space, call it zeta k, which is the q-span of all zeta, k1 up to kd, where the sum of the ki equals k. Then, and for k equals 0, we just put we put q. So for k equals 1, k equals 0, we put q. Then the dimension of this, of q, seems to be given in terms of the coefficient x to the k in 1 over 1 minus x squared minus x cubed. So, in other words, it satisfies, so if we call that d sub k, satisfies a recursion like dk is dk minus 2 plus dk minus 3, so we just need to give the first 3. So d0 is 1, d1 is 0, d2 is 1. And then, you know, everything else. And we'll get to interpret this a bit later on, because we'll have a refined formula for this. So think of this as indicating, so that's a generating series for the dimension of the zeta space at weight k. Something in weight 2 generates, and something else in weight 3. And those two suffice. That's roughly what one should how we should maybe think of it. And the upper bound was proved by Ansar. for many years, and independently then was by Tarasoma, who may have been becoming a bit impatient, and okay. And I think Brown's work, Branch's work, also reproves it. But we're more interested now in the refinement, and that was given by Grotters and Kleiner. And they included the depth filtration. The filtration meaning in terms of you have to take all the depth up to a certain kind of where modulo depth d minus 1 and so on. And the generating series now in two variables was as follows. I think that since you probably can't see in the back, should put up front. Okay. So essentially, the analog of 1 over 1 minus x squared and so on is 1 minus, okay, let me call it O of x times y plus S of x times y squared minus S of x times y to the fourth. So, and so that was not how Brotas Prander wrote it. They wrote it as some rational expression in x and y. And it seemed a bit arbitrary. And they asked Zagier whether he wanted to be co-author, because he had the original one. But then Zagier said, well, I have nothing to do with it. I didn't produce any of these calculations. It also looks a bit weird. There's not much structure in it, it seems. And only later on, when in his paper with Ihara and Kanikov, he figured out, oh, there is actually a lot of structure as follows. So first of all, the O of x is x cubed over 1 minus x squared, and the S of x is the seemingly pointless expression before 1 minus x to the 6th. If we write this out, we can see that this is x cubed plus x to the 5 plus x to the 7 and so on. So we get one term for each odd exponent. It's like this Lie algebra, which has one generator in each odd greater than 1 degree. Correspond to this. But what is this? This turns out to be simply dimension of the cusp forms for SL2Z you have the first cusp form is in weight 12, then you have the Eisenstein series in weight 4 and in weight 6, and these together will help you to produce all these modular forms that you need. But so we'll start with the first cusp form, so we don't ever see the Eisenstein series.
Are you working modulo zeta 2 or y squared?
To make it more complicated. I'm shoving a bit under the carpet. So that there's always the issue if you want to include the even part. So here, I think it's what's called maybe E of x, and that counts, and that should be x squared or 1 x squared, and that counts all the even ones, and I may have dismissed those over there as well. Yeah, but it's not crucial. You can separate the even part, like the zeta 2, zeta 4, zeta 6, as I already found. They are in a world of their own. So separate those, kind of as a direct sum, from the rest. And then the crucial bit is this. Okay. You're absolutely right. Okay, so
but what is the statement? I mean, I know.
So the statement now is So this is the power, the generating series. So therefore, the dimension of z Yeah, let's call it KD. So the zeta value, these are MZVs of weight K and depth D. The span of this, the Q span, that should be equal to the coefficient of x to the k1 to the d in this power series, and yeah, if you care about zeta 2, let's call that pk of x1 for s prime. So this can be k of x1.
Is this the dimension or the dimension?
Yeah, that's the dimension of this should be the coefficient then of what? Well, the dimension of the Q space. So you take the Q vector spaces, you take the slices, and each such vector space has a certain dimension, and this should be the coefficient here. Maybe modulus more detailed, but roughly, let's think of this as counting the dimensions of the space generated, the weight k, MZVs, and depth d.
So if you put y equal to 1, then you should get
that. Then you should get that, and you may get this only if you replace the right one. So if you take y equals 1, you can see these two cancel. So that's not too bad, so you get x cubed, then you get 1 minus x cubed over 1 minus x squared, and indeed I think we need the x squared over 1 minus x squared as Niels mentioned.
This is not graded, right? So if we put y equal 1, then I'm not sure what to do.
So the y should account for the depth. So this is conjectural. So this is what the...
What do you mean that you have to quotient by lower depth?
Yeah, yes, then I quotient the
Okay. Graded piece. Okay, sorry. So in precisely depth, in exactly depth. So depth means depth modulo lower depth. And weight modulo lower, yeah, maybe they will not. Roughly. Yeah, so it's not really that important, but let's try to reinterpret what this series says in comparison to what this said. So here we have two generators, one in degree 2, one in degree 3. And here we have one generator, so the first y power gives us the generators of some object, or it counts the number of generators. So we get one generator in each odd degree, as already mentioned here. So one term have one generator in each odd one degree. The y squared term, so this comes with a minus, so that accounts for generators. This comes with a plus, that now accounts, it's a minus. This one with a plus, now we have relations among those, have extra relations among these. And since we have the S of x, in fact, we should I call that Sx sub k, so that's the kth coefficient, the perf of x to k in Sx. We have that many independent relations among these generators. And at least roughly, you can try to link that to relations among those double zetas. And actually, so this is where we only encounter odd entries. So, relations among zeta odd. Fixed weight, which is weight k. So we have one generator in each odd greater than 1 degree. We have number of dimension sk, dimension of this cusp form thing in many relations. But then we plug in later on, we have minus signs, and we plug in that in depth 4. It's a very strange thing. So the y to the 4 term accounts for minus, so half again of new generators, or maybe syzygies among those relations, among y square. This is just a vague indication of what seems to be happening. You plug in something in depth 1, you have actual relations in depth 2, and these get pushed somehow to depth 4. And it's a really strange kind of structure. Now I mentioned this dimension of this space which I haven't introduced. Let me just give maybe a very quick idea how to think of these cusp forms, or module forms. Okay, so how to make that connection explicit between module forms and relations for double zetas. And for that, let's quickly recall that modular form is given by a function from the upper half plane into C, which is analytic, and satisfies infinite length symmetries coming from S of 2z. So if we take f of az plus t over cz plus t and compare it to f of z, then they're almost the same. So it's symmetric, almost symmetric in that sense. So for a, b, c, d in S of 2z. And in fact, there's an automorphic factor, which is cz plus t for some k, and k is the weight. And this weight, luckily, agrees with the k that I called the weight before for multiple zetas of f. So that's enough for modular form. It's not, well, at least in the first approximation. There are some regularity conditions at the boundaries, which we don't really care. And cusp forms have a very special nature, because you can see if you take the matrix 1, 1, 0, 1, this gives you a factor of just 1. So you get a Fourier series expansion, and the Fourier series expansion has constant term 0. Then it's called a cusp form. So a cusp form is a special module form, just with the extra condition that the constant vanishes. And to this we attach a fingerprint, which is so-called period polynomial. Now we're finally at is it already? it's good. It'll be a good reminder. So to f, you attach the kind of number of moments. Take integrals from 0 to infinity. Take f of z, dz of z. But then you multiply with z to the j, where j is from 1 to k minus 1. And these are essentially the crucial periods that one attaches to the modular form f. These are periods in the so-called critical strip, we don't care. And an important fact found by Aiko and Tamura is that they are very much related, at least every other one. So if we write this as, okay, I think standard would be Rj of f, then Tamura showed that R0f is rationally proportional to R2 of f to R2 So where 2R is less than k for each of these. And also R1 of f, so you jump again by 2, these are again rationally related. And therefore you can just take away that these coefficients as a vector, mod out by a common potentially transcendental number, so you get a vector as two vectors in Q to, yeah, essentially K minus 2 over 2, where K is the weight. So roughly. Or let's take them Q to the k minus 2 is good enough. Then we get zeros in between, but we don't care. And these give the polynomials. We have two curved polynomials. There's a slight weighting factor in terms of binomials. K minus 2 choose corresponding j here, but we shouldn't worry too much. So that gives us a fingerprint, and it's very telling as a fingerprint. So you can, in principle, reconstruct, that's what I understand, if you know that the fingerprint that you're given comes from a cusp form for SO2Z, you can reconstruct that cusp form from that little bit of data. So that's surprising enough. So what do we know about this? So that's our favorite polynomial, and we take the one which is so-called even, we'll take even here the polynomial, which is of, yeah, has only even powers, etc. So maybe I should give an indication of the one for delta, the famous modular form in weight 12, which is given by q times product 1 minus q to the n 24, and q is of course 2 pi minus z, so the discriminant function. So Ramanujan already was pretty interested in that and the coefficients when you expand this. As you probably know, they have a nice multiplicativity property, but okay. This is the first genuine cusp form. And to this we attach a part that I'm ignoring, plus the crucial one is x squared and x squared minus 1 q. So that is the period polynomial that we attach for now to this delta. And in the paper with Kaneko and Zevier mentioned, so that was Kaneko Zevier. He said, gave an explicit way to recipe to attach to a period polynomial of modular form. So you don't need cusp form, also works for modular form, but it's rather boring for the Eisenstein part. So period polynomial, I should give it a name, called P of X R. Usually I write it in two variables and then sort of make it homogeneous. So let's make this homogeneous by writing this as Y squared. So we get a So then you write P of x, y as sum with this coefficient that I mentioned, which weighs x to the r minus 1, y to the s minus 1, and here you get k minus 2 over r minus 1, and P of x plus y.
I hope it's this way around.
No, the other way around. X plus y, y. You write these as qrs for the same ones. That's the same. And then you can say something about the qrs. That's the crucial bit. You sum qrs with the zetas, and due to my reverse or convention for the zetas, I reverse the indices here. This is the same as 3 times the qrs zeta sr, where here we have even ones, and they sum up to our weight k, modulo form weight k, obviously here. And here we have odd, s plus r equals k odd. So s and r odd. So that's an explicit one, and in our example, that gives rise to the equation 14 zeta 39 plus 75 zeta 57 plus 84 zeta 75 equal to 5197 divided by 2 times 691 times zeta 12.
Excuse me, this congruence is modulo lima zeta.
This is, yes, absolutely, very good. Mod zeta k, zeta k. Thank you.
So, where is P and where is Q? Q?
So, P actually doesn't really enter. Yeah. I realized it while writing. So, you start with P, these are the coefficients. There is more, you can say something about QRS and its relation to PRS, but I dropped that. It's not important for now. It's just that you take this X plus YY, you read off the QRS, and this you plug into your equation. Plop, something comes out, hopefully, if we do it right. So let's recall, or let's keep in mind, those three coefficients. And so finally I get to the point of these totally odd ones. Ah, I should say that people are trying to make also sense of the step 4 term. So with Karinchnev, we try to build a new kind of depth filtration that at least gives an interpretation to that. It's a bit ad hoc. But then Francis Brown came and he put it in the right framework. So he found the right homology interpretation in terms of certain Lie algebra. And then Pierre Lachac and Benjamin came along and they said, well, you can phrase it much, much cleaner by just saying this condition is causality. So it's a verse. But I can't work. You may be talking about this anyway. I don't know. You have much more. This whole story for you. Yeah, there is something. But what's important for us, that Brown, on the way, gave a new conjecture. And it, in effect, is better. Using what's called totally odd MDBs. And these are simply those zeta k1 up to kr, for which ki is odd greater than 3. So avoid ones, and totally odd then just means that all the indices are odd. And the generative series is conjectured by him. Has the form 1 over 1 minus O of x, as before, I erased it, but you may still remember, plus S of x, y squared, still remember that. And then we have another term, which now just disappears. So the extra syzygy thing now is gone, so it should be easier to attack. Okay, so what do we know? And in particular, if you take given depth, depth V, the first occurrence this count is in 6 plus 3 times d. So that's the weight. Weight 6 times d. Okay. We should look at weight 6 plus 3 and depth d to get a first sort of we scheme the problem with the topmost layer in set. So these are the maybe most telling ones. All the others are more complicated. Okay.
So sorry, any question? But this thing, is it still a ring?
Yeah, it's still a ring. So it still has all the good properties that you want. Now he uses his co-product to prove that. Yeah, to show that you can reduce everything. First occurrence is in here. So therefore, let's look at d equals 1, and the weight equals 6 plus, d equals 1 is stupid, and weight equals 2. And I should say, in which case we expect d minus 1 independent relations among those the corresponding totally odd zetas. D minus 1 in your relations. So for d equals 2, you get weight 12, and we expect one relation. But this one is what we have here. Let me call it rho for Greek. Rho 12 is our relation. Expect one relation. Rho 12. And for d equals 3, weight is 15. And there, I don't think I have time for the. So, Ono found along the way, with Zunilin in a sense, when they tried to take Hoffman's basis, which only has 2s and 3s as the indices in zeta, which are now known to be basis in the Matilda case by Brown's work. So Ono found that still a basis, if we replace 3 in Hoffman basis, EA Hoffman, replaced by, okay, now setting we need 1, 2, we replace every 3 in one of those elements by 1, 2, then this should still be a basis. But then we tried the same thing for zeta stars. And the zeta stars are simply let's take the sum as for zeta, same as MZV, only that here we have less than equal rather than less than. So these are the star values, and if we look at zeta star and 3 to 1, 2, so it is no longer a formal basis, can form a basis. So he found relations among those, they can be translated by a work of Yamamoto. Yamamoto gave a beautiful interpolation between MZBs and MZSBs. So these are MZSBs, multiple zeta star values. And so he has a parameter T. So essentially what he does is you take zeta T of string K1 to KR, you take the sum over all possible contractions. So you can replace any of these by comma or by plus. And then you take t to the power number of pluses in here. And you take all contractions. And that gives you, for t equals 0, you get mzds, for t equals 1, you get mzsds, and for t equals 1 half, are the good ones. Okay. So I want to advertise zeta 1 halves. Half zeta, I still don't know what the phrase it is. Because they seem to, at least in many cases, kind of know about the depth filtration. The numerical observation, is equal to 1/2, seems to satisfy relations with same. Depth and, well, see, often seen. It's not always the case, but yeah, for d equals 2, I can write it down. But the corresponding thing for, oh no, that would be something like 70 with minus sign 339 plus 75 equals 3757. Plus 30 is equal 1/2 375, and now comes plus 180 is equal 1/2 555. Is there a modulo lower terms? And for d equals 3 is this, sorry. We had d equals 2 from the previous case. So this will be our row 15, and then for d equals 4 we get. So that's owner, essentially. And then, once I found one.
This congruence is modulo lower depth.
Modulo depth and products, just in case. Yeah. So it's again, I have to be very rash here. So Tasaka found one, and I called it row 18. And this starts with minus 17. So 3339. Here you have 75. Okay, that's 1/2. Same thing. So you just add a 3. But here, now here is same still. But here you say it's minus 180 divided by 5. And then you get the same thing with a 3 in front. And this is then 0. So they're very, very close. The weight 18 and the weight 15, 1, they only differ by some factor minus 1 over 5 here. So, and all the others already have a 3 in front, and this one has a 5 in front, so that 5 must somehow account for this minus 1 over 5. I have no procedure how to do that. But
it is 180 divided by 5, right?
Minus
186, yeah?
Yes, you're right. But I want to emphasize here the parallel. So we have all coefficients the same, except here. And the only thing that differs between those two is that the first one is 5. So this 5 is maybe connected to this 5. Is maybe just a bit crazy, but I was struck by having it so close. And my claim is now, so experimental evidence seems to suggest, I haven't introduced another topic, that these three, together with a new what I call semi-shuffle, produce a set of relations for this zeta. I should have said totally odd, maybe. And we said 6 plus 3 dV of dimension t minus 1. I will have to drop those semi-shuffles for now, but for people who are interested in it, I'm very happy to explain that. So that's roughly the idea that there are three relations, row 12, row 15, and row 18. They will, in general, produce everything, and row 18 is very much related to row 8, row 15, and I believe that row 15 is somehow related to row 12 in some rather generous way. So maybe there's just a single one that one needs to know. That's this one. And then you can produce at least a very good chunk of the whole, of that whole totally odd zeta alpha. Yeah, sorry for going over. That's roughly my outline.
Questions?
So what is the state? So you have just three gradations?
Together with shuffle, and I always say shuffle and prepend. That's one thing I with semi-shuffle. Let me explain maybe in the next case. So, for instance, for weight 21, I can even say something about weight 18, that might be already helpful. If we take row 12 and shuffle, the usual shuffle, with z to 1 half 3 3, then we take row 15, shuffle with z to 1 half the single one, and take row 18. Then that will produce something, and these three will be independent. The good thing about that semi-shuffle is that it will not shuffle too much, so that you will keep more zeros. So in order for some diagonalization process or the triangular matrix where you can read off the rank, these seem to be much better. So that's why. And for the next, and weight 21, you will have the same thing here, but with threes. Here with two threes, and then you get row 18 with a single three, so shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. But the last one will be that you only shuffle the last two, the tail. So here, every single time in here, for the last two, two entries in the indexing sequence. So here we have 3, 3, say 3, 9. Only these two, plus 5, 7, and so on, only these will be shuffled with 3. And you keep the coefficient, 14, minus 70, 75. And this seems to... and you have another one where you can prepone a 3, a sequence of 3s. So there are two types, so you get 3 prepone to row 18. Here maybe for 21, I forgot which one is the appropriate one. They should add up to the right thing. So preponing an arbitrary number of 3s, and the remaining ones will be semi-shuffled with the tail, with the two tail kind of this. That seems to produce up to weight 36 seems to work. So I think that's already a decent amount of.
But these variations row more than. So 12 is just comes from the custom delta.
Yeah.
And the other ones, what is the split? What 15 and 18?
15, it's clear that the kernel of Brown's matrices that are produced from his derivation procedure have rank 2, rank 3, and so on. And Tasaka has already proved quite a bit in that direction. So he's found this one, and he's proved a lesser equal in one direction, which then gives already evidence for Brown's conjecture.
Yeah, but my question is, this rho 50 is just a relation between MZVs, yeah?
Yes.
And also it can be explained the whole theory of Brodersheimer, yeah? So it comes from the... From the modular forms and what shuffles or
if you think in the Lie algebra picture, you take sort of the corresponding thing to row 12, and you just bracket it with the generator F3, and you successfully bracket with F3, that should correspond to shuffling with a sequence of 3s here, but that's somehow too rough because or in a sense of recognizing the rank, I think. So when I tried this as a basis, so that suddenly is also a basis, because it's very much like the one from Lie algebra, but there you get so many non-zeros, I see no chance to prove anything. But here there's a dim chance that... control.
kind of know that all multi-zeters can be confined into Drinsky-Kolmogorov associate. We also know essentially this associate satisfies the pentagon equation. Therefore, means we get a lot of relations, right, between multi-zeters. My question is, these relations from pentagon equations, are they kind of a fall from relations which are already known, or what is their status, I mean, in this theory? You know, you put a question, we want to find relations between multi-zeters.
Right. Okay, so the right question you ask, the right question you ask is sitting in front of you.
But he proved it that was enough, right?
Yeah, he proved that pentagon implies the other double shuffle, which are already a huge number of relations. So you can now concentrate on the associated relations if you want, but I think it's very hard to extract them from the pentagon equation. I don't think I've seen many relations that are explicitly taken from there. So if you want to play the explicit game, I think you prefer the double shot possibly. You should tell us a bit more about it, maybe that.
But at least they imply some known, right? Maybe a conjecture could be that they are all, right? The pentagon gives all relations.
Yeah, that's a four-color conjecture. So we believe that they give all. We actually, I think, believe that the double shots also give all. But it's not even clear whether they are equally mighty. So we now know due to Fourier's work that the one the associated implies the other. But the other direction is not clear how to attack it.
Anyway, you think it is not stupid to think about.
No, not at all. And there's a third type of relation that has not been considered that much, and it seems to fit also the dimension count, which is Kawashima's relation. So people tend not to really think too much. It lacks a little bit of structure. So there's a Newton method involved, which seems to be a bit ad hoc, kind of. But still, it seems rich enough. People who are in the know of, about these derivation business, that they should may have an idea how to attack it.
Questions? If not, thanks again.